Mr. O'Neill. I'm sorry, Mr. Gooden. May it please the court, counsel. This is an appeal by the defendant from the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of plaintiffs and the denial of defendant's cross motion for summary judgment. This case is a breach of contract dispute in which plaintiff WISPAC commenced a Wisconsin state court action for declaratory judgment, which was removed by the defendant, who asserted a counterclaim for breach of contract and other related claims for relief. National Utility Service seeks reversal of the district court's judgment and entry of judgment in its favor. Alternatively, National Utility seeks remand of the matter to the district court pursuant to Circuit Rule 36 for trial on the issue of the interpretation of the report that is issue in this dispute. Because the district court correctly held that causation need not be proven by National Utility between its recommendation and the resulting savings for National Utility to recover under its agreement, the determination of this appeal turns on whether the district court misinterpreted National Utility's report for sewer cost savings. The district court erred because no reasonable jury could find that the recommendation was anything other than to investigate potential sewer bill error and obtain relief if the error is confirmed. The portion of the report that referred to installation of a meter, estimation of water consumed in operations, or the negotiation of a discount for operational water losses was provided to WISPAC as an aid in implementing the sole recommendation contained in the report. In its report, National Utility recommended that WISPAC investigate why the Quincy Water Department was treating 100% of the water delivered to WISPAC's Quincy, Illinois plant as discharged into the sewer system, and the possibility of obtaining relief from that error. The report included an explanation of the benefit to WISPAC of correcting the billing error, and provided examples of methods that could be used to correct that error.
Did it say anything about the, what I got, just the obvious, that this is a bottling plant, and how in the heck can 100% that goes in be charged 100% that goes out? I'm not talking about evaporation and various other things that might save $2,500.
Well, first of all, the report did address processing. It talked about processing, and it talked about water being consumed in the second paragraph of the report. It's true that the report does not address specifically and expressly the fact that WISPAC is a bottling plant, but that doesn't render...
Is this just a generic letter that's sent out, boilerplate stuff?
Absolutely.
It doesn't look like it has any reference to the fact that this is a bottling plant that bottles something mixed with water.
I understand that's the heart of the appellee's position, Your Honor, but it is absolutely not a generic letter. This recommendation was based on a specific analysis of specific bills that were sent by WISPAC. A specific recommendation was contained in the report. The recommendation was, look, WISPAC, your sewer bills are based on this presumption that all of the water coming into the plant is going into the sewer. Something may not be right here. You better take a look at that. If National Utility had not detected that error on the sewer bills, it would never have sent the recommendation out. It would never have sent the report out. It was based on those erroneous bills that National Utility detected and that WISPAC failed to detect, despite the fact that it had installed this meter, that it had people, that it had this agreement that it describes with the city of Quincy. For 16 months, it never looked at the bills and figured out that the bills had an incorrect presumption. National Utility identified that. So it was not generic. It was very clearly based on a more scientific approach than that.
It wouldn't be obvious then, with your company's expertise, to look at that and say, they must not be reading the meter. There's no way that when the bottling plant, I have don't know anything about bottling, but I would guess, well, maybe 50% or 75% something goes into the bottles as opposed to the sewer.
Well, National Utility did not know there was a meter, because WISPAC, first of all, never told National Utility about the meter. In fact, they didn't tell National Utility about the meter for almost 2 years after the recommendation was made. And because the bills themselves did not reflect the meter readings, there was no way for National Utility to look at the bills and discern that a meter, in fact, had been installed. The only thing National Utility was basing its report on was the bills. And in fact, it was barred by the contract, and the addendum to the contract, which was drafted by WISPAC, barred National Utility from contacting the utility to find out a little bit more information about the circumstances. At the end of the second paragraph of the addendum, it states, "You shall not have authorization to communicate or negotiate with third-party suppliers except without a written consent."
Where are you looking?
I'm looking at the short appendix of the brief. It's the second page of the contract, the addendum.
What page is that? Or does it have a page?
It's right after the district court's opinion. It's the pages are not numbered. So our position is that the recommendation was not generic. It was based on a more scientific approach. The fact that it may not have recognized or identified the fact that this is a bottling plant doesn't render the recommendation null and void. National Utility Service was hired to look at bills, make recommendations on how WISPAC could save money. That's what it did. It just wants to get paid under the agreement. Significantly, the district court also failed to refer completely to the suggested letter that was contained in the report. The draft of the suggested letter was supposed to be transcribed by WISPAC onto its own letterhead and sent to Quincy Water Department. And interestingly, the suggested letter doesn't say anything about installing a meter, estimating consumption, negotiating a discount. It says there's a faulty presumption on these bills. We think we may be entitled to relief, and we'd like you to help us obtain that relief. That's what the recommendation was. The recommendation was not what the district court said it was, which was these three actions that she identified. Those three actions were identified to aid WISPAC once it determined that the billing error was indeed a problem and relief needed to be obtained. Had the district court properly interpreted the recommendation, it would have held that WISPAC took the recommended course of action and was liable to National Utility under the party's agreement. After it received the report, WISPAC reviewed the bills and discovered they were indeed excessive. It then investigated with the city why the bills were so high, and it discovered that the bills reflected the incorrect presumption. WISPAC couldn't even figure out, by looking at the bills on their own, after they received our report, that there was an incorrect presumption. It went to the City of Quincy, and it was the City of Quincy that corroborated NUS's National Utilities report. WISPAC then negotiated a credit for past overcharges and an agreement for prospective reductions. The district court found that the savings were achieved by WISPAC, quote, talking to the city. That's exactly what NUS said it should do by including the suggested letter. Go to the city. Talk to them about the bills. Talk to them about why this incorrect presumption is being applied and how you can obtain relief. And it included that suggested letter exactly for that purpose, but the district court completely overlooked it. If you look over the 20-odd pages of the district court's opinion, she doesn't mention the suggested letter once. And the suggested letter is completely consistent with what we maintain the recommendation says. I'd like to address for a minute WISPAC's defenses on appeal. WISPAC did not accomplish the recommendation before it received National Utilities report. Despite its installation of the deduct meter and its prior agreement with the city, it overpaid on its sewer bills for 16 months before it finally investigated the billing error. It obtained no financial benefit from any of the actions that it took before National Utility rendered its report. The second defense relates to causation. The district court was correct in finding that National Utility, under the agreement, should not be required to prove causality between the recommendation and the savings. First, the contract says nothing about that. Secondly, the authorities cited by the district court, and in fact by WISPAC, support this interpretation. These are the district court authorities. And third, think of the rationale behind this. It would be virtually impossible for National Utility to come in and prove what the state of mind of WISPAC or any of its other clients was at the time that it took a course of action consistent with a recommendation. How could National Utility know what was in its client's mind? And would also open up the opportunity for unscrupulous customers to say, oh, well, we threw the report out, or we didn't look at it, or, as in this case with John Utek, the vice president of operations, who testified that he understood what the recommendation meant. He understood it meant investigate potential water, potential sewer cost savings, but he ignored it. Now, under the interpretation of the agreement that's advocated by WISPAC, they would be able to get away with it. Well, we just ignored it. We buried it. We threw it out. And I submit that this court should not permit that to occur. If I have any additional time, I will return. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. Here from now from Mr. O'Neill.
May it please the court, I'm Bruce O'Neill representing WISPAC, Inc. For the past 32 years, WISPAC has paid water bills. During all of this time, it has known that most of the water that comes into its plant goes into its product. And for the last 32 years, WISPAC, in each of its five filling plants, has installed a meter to properly calculate the amount of water that goes into the sewer. WISPAC followed the same procedure when it constructed its fifth plant in 1998 in Quincy, Illinois. It found out from the city which water meter it preferred, and it installed that meter before it started operations. When WISPAC independently, and there's no dispute about that, when WISPAC independently discovered that the city was not reading the meter, it contacted the city, and the city corrected the billing and agreed that 80% of the water coming into the plant goes into the soda cans and bottles. This action had nothing to do with the letter it received in November of 1999 from NUS. That letter contained four recommendations. WISPAC did not follow any of them. In that letter, NUS recommended that WISPAC have the employees at its Quincy plant study their operations to see how much water was lost due to such things as evaporation. WISPAC didn't do that. Secondly, WISPAC recommended that, or strike that, NUS further recommended that WISPAC consider the installation of a meter to take into account that up to 4% of its water was lost through such things as evaporation. WISPAC already had installed a meter. Third, in lieu, as an alternative to installing the meter, NUS further recommended that WISPAC contact the city and negotiate a flat rate discount to take into account the fact that up to 4% of the water goes up in such things as evaporation and cooling. Since WISPAC had installed the meter, it did not follow that recommendation. Finally, NUS recommended a form letter to send to the city. WISPAC did not do that. The contract provides that if WISPAC accepts and implements the recommendation, only then does NUS share in half the savings. WISPAC never accepted any recommendation. WISPAC never implemented any recommendation. At page 13 of its decision, the trial court held that NUS had to show a specific recommendation and that the customer took action consistent with it. The court found that NUS made no specific recommendation as to the problem here, and therefore WISPAC took no action consistent with it. If this court would disagree with the trial court and rule that there are questions of fact as to either of these points, we ask the court to rule that the proper interpretation of the contract is that NUS must prove that WISPAC accepted the recommendation, that is, that the recommendation caused the subsequent contact. There is no exception in the law of contracts for utility cost savings companies that they do not have to prove the element of acceptance when they try to enforce a contract. NUS admitted this in a letter that's part of the record. We cited at page 27 of our brief when they said, "We do not share in savings which our customers obtained for themselves." There is no way that the November 24, 1999 letter can be read to say that the writer of that letter was aware that WISPAC was a bottler and that 80% of its water went into its product. The letter is of a type or a form that NUS would send to any manufacturer to point out that 4% of its water is lost to such things as evaporation and cooling. NUS now seeks $1,200,000 based on its 4% evaporation letter. This is as wrong as it can be and should be rejected by this court. There's no further questions. I thank the court for its consideration.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. Sir, your time had expired, so we will take the case under advisement with our thanks to both counsel for their fine briefs and the oral argument today.